You know Mother Teresa? The famous nun in Calcutta, in India, that used to stay with the lowest of the low and mingle with commoners, you know, literal, what they call untouchables. Now, so, no, that's it. That's just how the Lord does it. You can have plans which you created. People create plans for different reasons. Some plans are made because somebody wants to impress somebody. In your house those days, you were the one that they didn't like most. Your father didn't think you were very smart. And you have to prove to him and your mother and your brothers that you are very smart and you can succeed in life. And you have built your whole life like that. Listen to me. God said, I hereby rescue you from that plan. You will not fulfill. Let them think you are stupid. I am the one that own you. They don't own you. Are you getting my point? You are mine. They are not. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. You follow me and you follow me completely. You don't even have to prove to anybody that Christianity produces prosperity. If following Christ produces poverty, that's Christ's business, not your own. I've seen people say things like, you know, let me put my business in place so that when I go into ministry, they will know I didn't come because of money. Let them think you came because of money. Yeah, these are foolish things that we do sometimes. So the reason, you say, why are you not in ministry? No, right now, no. If I go and they think I'm like the other pastors, who cares what they think? It's what he thinks that matters. They think I'm like the other pastors that I just came to come and collect money from here. Let me first make it first. When they see that I have money, they will know I did this one out of I wanted to do it. Your name is Saul. They will soon replace you with David. It's Saul that was primarily concerned about what people were thinking. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
You don't. Why am I feeling like saying this today? I feel somebody needs to hear it. You were not born to make any point to anybody. Not at all. Because you came from a village where people are respected according to the size of their buildings. Better go home with collect your disrespect. Are you getting my point? I'm telling you. That car you have, don't drive it home next time. Hire a keke napep to take you there. If everybody is tying cow for Christmas, tie fowl. Why? Say, I came this time around to collect my dishonor. Let everybody look and say, don't mind that boy. Foolish. Say, he's a Christian. He's good. What did I say? No, I want you to say it properly.
He's good.
He's good. It's called being a fool for Christ. Are you getting my point? Blessed are you when men, no? Despise you, yes. You've come to collect blessing. See, Christians working hard and praying hard and sowing seed hard so that when they go home, you know, December is getting close now. All their jobless cousins who come from different parts of the world, so they want to compete with a drug dealer who's soon going to prison. Even billionaire former ministers are going to prison. Is it ordinary drug dealer that we can't put in prison? No, I'm serious. You see, Christians, you know, instead of living a righteous and holy life, because righteousness does not pay, in quotes, there are girls who are choosing husband because of wedding ceremony. Why? Because the other time when Angela married, Angela should have seen the car, the convoy. Is that like you have not slept properly? How could you be surprised? The kind of things that people reason. So since that time, all your choice have been is about that wedding. Ah, so a man is a responsible, God-loving man wants to marry you. You don't check the guy. Say, this guy can't give me honeymoon in France. And it's a prayer point. There are prayer points that bring forth koboko. That is, you kneel down to pray. And God is saying, what is she doing there? And they say that she's trying to ask whether she should marry this guy, even though you understand that he cannot give her the honeymoon in France. So God said, look, if I handle this girl, I will injure her. So let me send her enemies against her for 3 months. The way God did David. Why? Because the prayer point is so stupid. I've told you in this your life, go and collect your dishonor. What did I call it? collect your dishonor. When all your friends have gathered and they're looking rich, walking there looking poor. Looking poorer than you really are. Look for your oldest shirt. You're about to throw away. Wear it that day. After that, you will succeed in life. What did I say? Say, I will succeed in life. You will. Because now, you're not trying to impress anybody again. I like one thing Catherine Kuhlman said. Catherine Kuhlman said that, why was God able to use her? He said, because she had become so despised now. It was she that put her hands inside it. She did what was unthinkable. Not now that America has spoiled thoroughly. That time, they had a fairly straight society. She went, married a man who left his wife and two children to marry her. And the whole of the church closed their doors against her. She was a vibrant, anointed preacher. They closed doors against her. She couldn't preach anywhere. Everywhere she turned, even her closest friends left her. She could not... Finally, after 6 years of pain and agony, she packed her bag one day and told her husband, "Sir, I'm going." Of course, God never recognized that marriage for 1 second. Told the man simply, "I am going." That came to a point I have to make up my mind. Whether, you know, she confessed something in her book, "Go and Read Daughter of Destiny," that there was a time she loved that man more than she loved God. And it was shown. The night she finally married him, she lost faith that night that, no, I can't, this is wrong. But she turned back and her friends were all gone. She only finally married him because now there was nobody else. Everybody said, "This one you are doing, you are totally on your own." This guy was a pastor. She was pastoring a church, kind of. All right, she had the meetings she used to have. And he was a guest that used to come. Along the line, we don't know what was going on between the two of them. But his wife got tired. He was saying that it's because my wife left me. People said, "Did she leave you or you drove her?" There are different ways to drive people. So they said, "Look, it was by your works, your attitude, you drove the woman away." So nobody recognized the divorce. Patrick Kuhlman had jumped and married him. Nobody recognized the marriage. God did not. The church did not. She did not. Nobody. That is 6 years of pain. At the end of 6 years, she told the guy, "I am going." And she just left. Said, "This one is enough. The one you have is not your own husband." That's what Jesus said. He said at the end of that day, of course, "No, God is good." God looked at her and said, "Kpele, sure you have repented now. Let me now find something for you to do." The ministry God put in her hand, she is convinced that there was a man or another one that was supposed to do it. But for certain reasons, just like Ken Hagin said that he was pulling away from the prophetic office, for those reasons also, maybe the man refused. At that time, she was nothing. That's what she said, using her own words. Nobody wanted her. Nobody had any respect or regard for her. Her life had come to the bottomless end. And God now took her and lifted her up. She now became the Catherine Kuhlman that we're gathered here talking about this evening. That's why I said, collect your shame now. Amen? Amen? The people you are trying to impress are the reason why you will not do the will of God. I'm telling you, men, human beings are a major reason why people don't obey God. If I enter ministry now, my father will think it's because I can't do any other thing. Let him think what he wants to think. Let him think what he wants to think. Is he your God? Did he die for you? Because he just had the chance to be your father. Privilege. You should be happy. That's one thing I see. I see people. You know, a man came to the Lord Jesus and said, "I would like to follow you, but I have to go home and bury my father." The father was not in a mortuary waiting to be buried. It wasn't that they were having village meetings. That, okay, who's bringing one cow? Okay, this clan will bring one cow. No, it was not the coordinator of the burial ceremony. It was that his father had to be satisfied first before he could follow the Lord. Let me go home, settle my father when he's no longer in the way. That's the concept of it. That when he's old, when he's dead, right now he's at home, let me go and take care of him. Let me stay with him. Then when I have finished, that was the same that happened to Elijah. Elijah called Elisha. Elisha said, Okay, Abeg, I'm coming. Let me go and discuss with my family. Elijah said, did I touch you? If you don't want to come, who's forcing you? Elisha quickly ran back. And let me tell you, Elisha was a rich man. Go and read the context. He was plowing with how many yokes of oxen? That he wasn't just one. Only him. He had a row of them plowing in front of him. He was from a well-to-do family, Elisha. And when Elijah came, cast his mantle upon him according to the commandment of God. He said, I'm coming, sir. Let me go home. Let's go and have a discussion. Elijah said, no, baby, I didn't even want you in the first place. It's God that... When the man realized that this anointing is about to pass me by, he quickly took the animals, slaughtered them, slaughtered the animals, and cooked them on the yokes. The implement, that is, he burnt his life. Let me put it like that. Listen, that's what Christianity is. So we must follow God. Amen?
Amen.
We must follow God. Amen?
Amen.
We must follow the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not trying to impress anybody. And one thing I just like about God is that he's a very good God. He has a better plan for anybody than anybody can ever imagine for him or herself. That's a matter of fact. The plan he has for you is far better than the one you could ever have dreamt of for yourself. One thing about him is that he doesn't explain himself ahead of time. But what's very crucial to us as believers, we should be ready to go down to zero. Are you getting my point? That's very important. We must be ready to go down to zero. You know, Jesus is an interesting person. He preached a message that reduced the church to nothing. By the time he finished preaching, remained only Peter, James, John. Who couldn't go anywhere? Anyway, there was nowhere else to go. But he still had to preach the message, even though it scattered people. I see pastors sometimes, they preach things that work. Until you are ready for the church to go down to zero, if he wants to go down to zero, you are not ready to follow the will of God. Listen, that's what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. As a man of God, your duty is to preach the truth. You don't support anybody. Don't try to build a big church. People say, Young Gicho, no, don't believe that lie. You know, I've told you. The Bible says he himself does not know how. Young Gicho does not know how the church becomes 1 million members. He doesn't know how. What happened was that the guy obeyed God and a 1 million man church built up around him. Young Gicho obeyed God every step of the way and a church of 1 million built up around him. There is no method about it. He himself does not know how. God has a far better plan for all of us than we could ever have imagined. Don't let the world create things that we are supposed to pursue. No, we shouldn't let them do that. We shouldn't set up your priorities for you. People will walk up to me those days and say, at this level in life, you should own your own house. Nobody has ever come up to me and said, by now you should be training 4 other people in university so as to develop the society. They never told me that. They set standards of success for us in life that God did not set. And we'll be pursuing it. The one that irritates me, now everybody wants to carry all the wife and children to Europe and America for holiday. It's not competition. God bless people small. Their head no go correct again. Small blessing like this. Small. Becomes competition. Some people, their children are going to schools that they don't like. They don't want. Just because if I don't go there now, they say, what am I doing with my money? Listen, don't let the world... Listen, it's very important to... The world must never be allowed to set a standard for your life. The age at which they say you should achieve something is the very age you must not do it. Like I always say, your life is not average. God created you alone. Said, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who gave birth to you. When I called him alone. Alone. Don't compete. This life, don't compete with anybody. It's the reason why you won't obey the will of God. It is the very reason why you will not obey the will of God. And thank God for our fathers and mothers. But don't let their ignorance pilot your life. Now, it's true. They have a responsibility to let you know what your cousins are up to. It's their own personal glory that's the issue. They want to be able to say, my son did this one for me. That's the problem. But we have a responsibility. We have a duty never to fall for it. You wake up every morning and ask yourself, am I walking in the will of God for my life? Am I walking in the plan of God for my life? I mean, you know the one I say all the time. And I've said it many times here. I'm sure you can even use it. You even know if I, as if you were there. My mother won this. This was years ago. Went home Christmas time. Uh-huh. Your mates are now building their own houses. So, before the statement finished dropping, I completed my own. I said, how many of them are teaching the word of God on radio? That was my answer. I said, how many of them are teaching the word of God on radio? That time it was called the way of success. I just dropped. I said, how many people are teaching the way of success? I said, how many people are teaching the way of success? If I tell you the kind of joy I have, I knew the radio, the message blessed people those days. But sometimes I hear testimonies till now. The other day, Okemute was announcing the program that he did. Many of us here were there. What do you call it? Good of the Land. So when they were discussing the program on TV, on radio, so he said that the Pastor Banky will be there. So one guy called him, he's supposed to ask a question. Isn't it hard to shut him up after a while? He said, Pastor Banky is going to come. I must be there. I must be there. Because of him, I'm what I am today. As I was saying that, that was the day I was in the studio. Sorry. I was invited. I was in the studio. Yes. Uh-huh. I think I'm mixing two things up. But I was in the studio that day. Ezine and Okemute invited me and Pastor Cosmos. So we're there. Oh, I'm so happy to hear your voice today. Because of you, I'm what I am today. I was just doing like this in the studio. Not because of me. It's because of God. What I'm trying to say is that guy's life is worth more than a house. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
His life is most certainly worth more than a house. Nobody should set any worldly standard for my life. No matter what I acquire on this earth, listen to this. I die, I leave them behind. No matter what it is, no matter how glorious. If Dangote dies today, unfortunately for him, he's a Muslim. The barrier is that day. If Dangote dies suddenly, they will bury him suddenly. The day Abacha died, they say £2 billion, $1 billion, when he's a thief. The guys who buried him, they were happy to jump on the grave. They did as if they were leveling the thing, but you know it's the wickedness in their soul. Oh yeah, it don't go. Thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. But now the one fighting for years later, whether we will recover £2 billion, he didn't recover. Where is all the money? He left it in Nigeria. He went to wherever he went. Nobody should make me focus my life on what will not endure to eternity. Blessed is the servant who the master finds so doing. Blessed is the one, we have a master who must find us so doing. Not so acquiring, so accumulating. Like acquire clothes like Puff Daddy. They said one day I had a whole house that was his wardrobe. When you die, they bury you with one. Usually not even the best. Just go and sew one. And if they bury you with expensive jewelry, that's it. They have put your grave up for grave diggers. Grave robbers, that's what they do. They just see somebody who was buried with expensive things. They will be doing them. The morning. And they go, Agbako, see that guy. See ring for your finger. Where they go bury him? They will be singing, he's dead. They go check. Some of them are very patient. They wait till everybody has forgotten. And one day they wake up, your body has been disturbed. Some people think that God punishes those people. I don't, for that's the home video. Because if I were God, I wouldn't punish them. This is mining. understand it. This is gold from the earth. What are you talking about? There's nothing. This world, there's nothing we are carrying away from here. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
nothing. Zero. Zap. Nothing. Nothing. There's no good man. Think about it. Good man or good woman, you've heard the story that they describe the kind of cars, the kind of house they used to drive. None. The only time you hear the kind of car or house is when they didn't have. Are you getting my point? They'll tell you Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa did not have this. Mother Teresa didn't have that. That's what they will tell you. But if she had, it will not enter the story. The only thing we know about Mother Teresa and cars is that once the Pope went to visit her, when he went to India, the Pope went to see her. And when the Pope was leaving India, the limo that they used to drive the Pope around, he gave it to Mother Teresa. So Mother Teresa said, "Very good. Thank you, Your Holiness." She parked the car and said, "Lottery, 1 rupee each. Who wants to win? Limo." She used the limo to play a nationwide lottery so people would give money to her orphanage. Mother Teresa did not drive it. Who remembers the house that Paul the Apostle had? The only house we know the man had regularly was Roman prisons. Oh, the Lord is good. We've not read Psalm 139, okay? We'll read it, but the Holy Spirit is just talking to somebody or some people here this evening. Don't let the world set an agenda for your life. They can't keep you alive. Don't be like Kenneth Hagin's warning, you know what I mean? What he did not become. Age 57, God said this boy is useless. He has told the agenda of the peoples and has forsaken the agenda I have for his life. That's Kenneth Hagin's warning. God told him, and that's what I came up with today. So you don't do exactly what I say. No matter what I promised, after a while I'm going to get tired of you. So we all have a duty. That's the point I'm making. We all have a duty to follow the plan of God for our lives. To be careful that we do not create our own plan. It is important that we follow the plan of God. I said something earlier. Do I always consciously know it? No. That's what we're talking about, prayer. Let's now read this so we can close. I'm watching our time. We read this last time. Let me read it again. It's the word of God. Like David Paulson said, I was listening to him. He read a very long portion of the Bible to start preaching. He said, one good thing about reading the Bible is that, as a preacher, no matter what you say, you are sure at least one thing was correct. That Bible you read. So let's read this one so that everything, at least this will be correct in what we said today. I will start from verse 13. He said, "For you formed my inward parts." Please, before I read it further, remember, this is how we pray. When you are reading this, it's a prayer. Prayer is not big English. It's just a knowledge of this fact and a declaration of these words. You want to say, how do I walk in God's plan for my life? Take this and read. What does it mean? We've already explained what it means. When you declare it, you are creating an ambience of the Spirit around you. That Spirit leads you. It carries you into God's plan. It carries you into God's destiny. That Spirit is an ambience of the Spirit you are creating around your life. Just by reading the Bible. That's what the Bible says, give attention to reading. When we were talking about reading, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he wasn't even actually talking about, make sure you read your Bible. He said, give attention to the public reading of the scriptures. You must declare the words out loud. Very important. If you have a need in your life, you know, I like what the one sister told me, was quoting Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland was saying to preachers, don't put pressure on people. Put pressure on the word. Ah, that thing blessed me. She said, that's what I do. Get up and put pressure on the word. What does it mean to put pressure on the word? Just say, this is what the word said, that it will be done. This is what the word said, that word, be done, in the name of Jesus. I have a need in my life. I say, God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I wake up in the morning, I say it again. I declare it. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I abound to every good work. I am not feeling well. I look at the area that's not feeling well. I say, you don't want to feel well. I'll show you how to feel. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes I have been healed. It's pressure. Now you declare it 2 times, it's not working. Let the doctor cut it. No. It's pressure. You understand? Fight. War. In the same manner, how do I make my life work according to God's will? It's also the same pressure. I take the scriptures. Lord, you form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that mean? It means that you have a special plan. It's a wonderful are your works. What God will say is he has made everything beautiful in his time. That is, you made me at the proper time for a proper purpose. That's the meaning of fearfully and wonderfully made. It means I'm well suited for the call, the plan you have for my life. Say, wonderful are your works, and my soul knows this very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. What was he trying to explain here? That he was saying that, listen, God has a plan for my life. The thoughts he has for me, they are greater than the thoughts that I have for myself. It's not what I can think, but what he has thought already. By just declaring those words, the world begins to work and stay in the right direction. Whether you have a conscious knowledge of it or not, is not the point. It's that you declare these words with sincerity in your heart. The word of God is, as you are declaring it, is turning you in the right direction. This is how we as believers walk in the plan of God for our lives. It's not by smart thinking. If you have a decision to make, should I go to Lagos or go to Kano? You are confused. Sometimes people say, pray until your spirit talks. Okay, what do you say? They say, pray in tongues. It's good, I'm not saying it's bad. But sometimes, like Ken Hagin was saying that message, he said he prayed in tongues for 2 hours. At the end of the day, he told the Holy Spirit, this one, that this tongue is a tongue of practice. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, he said it. He said, these are things you say because you are so used to saying them. He said, Holy Spirit, you are not taking hold together with me in this one. So suddenly, in his spirit, he heard the Holy Spirit say, yes, no, that is, you are right. I'm not taking hold with you. He said, why? Because that guy is going to die. You are just praying nonsense prayer. So he closed the prayer meeting and everybody went home. So how do I pray? That's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you take the words and you get these words to work for you. You declare these words. I want to quickly flip over to... Okay, let me finish this and I flip over to that. So when you say, remember what I said, the will of God, when we read it, we are declaring it that it should be done. So it says here, the days of my life, they were all written in your books when before there was any one of them. What you say that these days of my life, according to what was written, come to pass in the name of Jesus. I will not go to Kano if that's not where the Lord wants me to go. I will not go to Lagos if that's not where the Lord wants me to go. I will only go where the Lord is leading me. Just that is the prayer you pray until you know where you're supposed to go. You may just be praying that prayer. Just get the call. Somebody just say, sorry, we didn't hear from you by yesterday. We have given out the appointment. Ah, you say, but you said you are waiting for me till this evening to make up my mind. He said, no, you didn't hear us right. We said it yesterday. Don't be angry. What did I say? It is the Holy Spirit that has confounded their tongue. They don't know what they are saying again. They closed the door. It's the walking of the word of God. Don't be upset. That is when, listen, when it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, that's what it means. Somebody will just call you and just say, listen, that deal, I'm not sure. Or suddenly you just know. That's another interesting part. When you purify your heart very well, suddenly you just know things and you can't explain how you know them. That's it. Sometimes I want to downplay this spirituality that Christians want to create, which doesn't exist. Because many times people want to practice them. They create confusion. A man comes up and says that, the Holy Spirit led me. Then other people want to now follow how the Holy Spirit is leading him. See how I pray, there. I had a voice inside my spirit. Listen, some of those voices is vexation voices. You're angry with somebody, their personal desires. How do you not know which one is which? The only thing we can know for sure is the word works. What did I say? What did I say? When we say the word works, it's not only outside it goes to work to bring things for us. Inside us, it works to give us the will. Something gets to a point to just say, you are the only one that can explain how you know. And I try not to pass that across to anybody. Because it's so difficult. Like one of my friends said, there was time I was supposed to relocate from Nigeria and go to the UK. This was years ago. Just to one brother that, this is what I want to do. Brother said, that's very nice. So as long as, I said, just be sure it's the will of God for your life. He said, the moment the brother said it, He said, instantly I knew it was not. He said, instantly I knew it was not. How I know till today, I can't explain. But I just knew it was not. This is what we declare. When people are saying, okay, which one is mine? What do I get for? Listen, don't worry about it. You flip over to Psalm 16. I'll read it for you. Don't bother opening to it. I want us to close now. He said, I like this portion of Psalm 16. From verse 5. He said, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. He said, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. He said, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or to the place of the dead. Nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, he says, there are pleasures evermore. Now, what was he saying here? He said, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. He said, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance. I wanted to understand what David was saying. That what will happen to me by chance. Do you understand? That's when they say the lines, talking about you support my lot. When they just cast a lot and say, okay, pick one. That my own falls in the place, let me summarize like this, that God ordained for me to be in. And that place is better than what I could have imagined. That is prayer. I hope you get what I'm talking about here. That's how Christians pray. Situations come up, take these two scriptures and read them and declare them. Read these scriptures and declare them. I don't want to call time. I don't want to go into Psalm 40 that we read again last time, all right? I read it last time. I don't want to read it again. You read these scriptures and declare these words until those words go out and I work for you. Listen, those words will open doors that were closed. They will close some doors that you thought was open. A time will come, you need to make a decision. Four things are in front. You have to choose one. All of them look good. All of them look nice. Or sometimes, one that you didn't even have love doesn't really look good. Listen, you declare these words, God will start shut that one down, until it remains only one. In which case, you don't need to pray anymore. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, sir. Just like, yeah, that's the only one that is left. He said, good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking away the other three. Now, this one is the only one I have. I take it. And that becomes the will of God. The will of God is not the ability to hear voices. If God wants to speak through voices, that's his own issue. What is the will of God? It's his word, the word that is written. You declare these words until they work in your life. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's rise to our feet and close. Remember, the kingdom of God cannot advance. The kingdom of God cannot spread until we all take our proper places. There is a place that God has ordained for you. Everybody declare, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I was born for a purpose.
I was born for a purpose.
And I speak to my soul.
Obey the purpose of God.
Walk in the plan of God for your life. Say, the Lord saw me before I was born.
And he ordained me to do something.
Saying,
this is my life.
I will fulfill the plan of God.
I will not obey the lust of men.
I will fulfill the will of God.
I speak to my life.
Obey the plan of God.
Walk in the will of God.
Say, the lines will fall for me in pleasant places.
Say, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places.
Indeed,
my heritage is beautiful to me.
Say, God will make all grace abound towards me.
By the power of his grace,
I will walk in his will.
By the power of his grace,
I will do his work.
By the power of his grace,
I will walk in my calling.
And he will meet all my needs.
Listen, the Bible says that there is no want for those who seek him.
Are you getting my point?
There will be no want for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lack is not your portion.
Amen.
See, don't worry about it. God knows what you need. You know, the way I learned to pray, God, this ministry, it was not our idea, it was your idea. So anything that we need, you've created it somewhere. It's somewhere. It is somewhere. We will locate it and we will use it. That's the difference. I'm not trying to beg him now, say, Lord, do something. I'm saying, Abba, how could I have reached here if you were not planning to do something? What we're just saying, that which you have done, let it be released. That's what David was saying, that the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And my, you know, indeed my heritage is beautiful to me. Let's just give the Lord thanks. I don't think I need to say any other thing. Say, Father, we thank you. Okay, let's just take a minute each person. There's a word that came specifically for you. Respond to that word. It's important. Begin to use that word to pray. Begin to use that word to pray. Maybe you've been making plans all the while just to impress somebody. Begin to renounce it. Say, now I renounce those plans. I renounce those plans. I renounce those plans. I renounce those plans. From now, in the name of Jesus, I only walk according to the call of God for my life, with the fear of God as the primary thing in my heart. I renounce the plans that I'm making because I want to satisfy somebody. Somebody has a few plans in front of him or her, of few options. How do I know which option? Begin to declare those words. Say, the days of my life, they were written in his books. Anyone that will not lead me in the day that God created for me, I reject it. I reject it. I reject it. I speak to every door that he did not open. Close. I speak to every door that he did not open. Close. Every door that he did not open. Close. Every door that he did not open. Close. In the name of Jesus. Declare, say, the Lord will make my path straight. Just declare to yourself, the Lord will make my path straight. What it means is that he will direct my path. He will lead me into where I'm supposed to go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks for the instruction you are giving to us today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.